Hi, good afternoon. I'm Carmina Constantino. Welcome to your noontime news fix. Dateline Philippines begins right now. The Education Department looking to expand face-to-face classes in areas under COVID alert levels 1 and 2 by next month. Secretary Leonor Briones assuring the public only schools in areas low risk for COVID-19 will be allowed to resume face-to-face classes. Nearly 7 million minors now fully vaccinated against COVID-19 in the Philippines. Another 8.5 million minors are now awaiting their second dose. The Labor Department urging employers to implement a paid isolation and quarantine leave program. That's amid the rising COVID-19 cases within the labor sector. And for In Focus today, Vice Presidential Candidate Senator Francisquico Pangilinan will join us later on in the program. All right, guys, here's the situation right now. As Omicron is now present in almost all households here in the National Capital Region, it has also sadly not spared our home studio. Fact is, we're now coming to you live using a virtual control booth. So if and when we experience some technical glitches, we do hope that you could bear with us. And more importantly, wherever it is that you're watching us from, we hope that you're safe. We hope that you're healthy. Right, on with the news. As I said a while ago, the Labor Department is now urging employers to adopt and implement an appropriate paid and leave and quarantine. Make that paid isolation and quarantine leave program on top of existing leave benefits. For more on that, we're now going to talk to Elmer Labog. He is the chairperson of the Kilusang Mayo Uno. Elmer, good afternoon po, and thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Carmina, and good afternoon to our viewers. Thank you for allowing me to speak to our people.
We appreciate you coming to the show. First of all, how much do you welcome this advisory coming from the Labor Department?
Well, I think this is a necessary development. 2 years into the pandemic, the Department of Labor and Employment has finally recognized the significance of workers, and they indeed need the support from government. The problem is that the government, again, absolves itself of all its responsibilities. Hindi pwedeng yasa na lang lahat, no? Sa mga employers. And so I think the main responsibility lays on the shoulder of government. The $1 billion budget that had been outlaid for support is too insignificant. And I think with the amount that had been loaned from various local and international institutions, we do have significant funds to really support the program of the isolation and quarantine leaves, isolation and quarantine leaves for workers.
When you read through the advisory, Labor Advisory Number 1, Ka Elmer, it is said there that the department is urging employers, not necessarily ordering them to do so. Where would this leave now the labor sector if they're at the mercy of, employers who may be like-minded, but employers who may not even heed this advisory coming from the Labor Department? Ka Elmer.
Yeah, you're right on that. As it is just a labor advisory, 1-2022, it means that it's an urge for all employers to support their workers, especially those who've been afflicted with the COVID pandemic. However, you're right by saying that workers would be at the mercy of employers, whether to implement or not this legislative labor advisory. So it's not actually a department order. And so the workers would be at the mercy of employers. What is important and necessary, I think, is that government should step up its support to those who'd be on isolation and quarantine leaves, and outlay a bigger amount of money in order that the main responsibility would lay on the shoulders. Secondly, for small and medium enterprises, so they could coop up with the situation that we are in now, where a lot of workers would really be affected by this current condition.
Yeah, and you're saying that, Ka Elmer, of course, because you also understand the plight of the various employers who have been affected by the pandemic. Marami na din pong mga employer na talagang naghihikahos na rin po dahil sa pandemyang ito. And if, as you said a while ago, if government is going to put the burden on them, then ultimately, it's still going to be the labor sector who might suffer because, of course, of the lack of support coming from the government to the employers.
Yeah, with the 2 years pandemic that would in now, I think it's high time that the government should step up its support for small and medium enterprises, especially because they hardly could exist with the impact of this pandemic. What I'm saying is that there should be an urgent amount or fund that should be laid out for the small, medium, and micro enterprises in order for them to be able to pay their obligations to workers. If not for the support, I don't think they could ever continue with their businesses. Also, we urge government to pass the paid pandemic leave, which is already filed at the lower house courtesy of the Makabayan Coalition, House Bill 7909, wherein it provides for the support of 28,000 pesos annually for those who'd be afflicted or be affected with this current situation.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. Elmer Labog there, the chairperson of the Kilusang Mayo Uno. Ka Elmer, thank you for joining us today. Take care and you keep safe.
You stay safe and good too, Carmina. Thank you so much for accommodating. Bye-bye.
Maraming salamat po. We're going to take a break now up ahead. We're going to have that interview with Vice Presidential Candidate Senator Francis Kiko Pangilinan. That's coming up next. You're watching Dateline Philippines, only here on ANC. And we are back. You're still watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Our next guest is not even supposed to be our next guest. Fact is, by this time, he should be far along the campaign trail telling voters about his legislative agenda as a senatorial candidate. He was actually in a good position to win re-election. But life's design took him on a different path. Suddenly, Senator Francis Pangilinan found himself making one of the hardest decisions he's had to make in his life when Vice President Leni Robredo asked him to be her running mate for the 2022 elections. It was a move that made the most sense, according to the VP. It was also a decision that had far-reaching effects, not only on his political career, but also on his family. But soon enough, the seasoned activist, lawyer, turned politician, turned farmer, buckled down to work as the other half of Tropa, Team Robredo Pangilinan. And the work, it hasn't been easy. Talk about digging a way through disinformation to win the voters' hearts and minds while working hard to gain back the people's trust and presenting themselves as the better option. But are they really? What has Senator Pangilinan done all these years that makes him deserving to be the next vice president of the country? In focus today, Senator Francis Pangilinan, candidate for Vice President of the Liberal Party. Senator Francis Kiko Pangilinan, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Hi, magandang tanghali. Good afternoon to you, Carmina, at sa mga viewers, and stay safe. We pray that this COVID incident in your studio will resolve itself with good news and that you're all safe.
Thank you. We really appreciate that, Senator, and we really appreciate you sort of adjusting with us as well as we maneuver through this whole digital space that we're on right now. I want to begin 3 months ago, Senator Kiko, when you accepted the invitation of Vice President Leni Robredo to run as her VP. You said then that you shared tears watching her declare her intent to run for president because of two reasons. Let's take a look back. Right. I'm not sure if you heard it, but there you sort of shed tears because in the end you said it gave you hope. Pag-asa ang huling naramdaman ninyo. I have to ask you now, Senator, have those tears been replaced and with what? And what are you feeling right now that you're in the middle of this whole season?
Well, until now, when I come across some of the challenges sa campaign, I cannot help sometimes but tear up. No? But I guess talagang ganun talaga ako, mababa ang luha. But like I said then, nabigyan tayo ng pag-asa when VP Lenny decided to run because ako'y naniniwala siya ang pinaka-deserving. Siya ang merong, sabihin na nating untainted track record nung pagiging vice president, pagiging congresswoman, at pagiging first lady ng Naga City for almost 20 years. So talagang I thought she was, and I continue to believe she's the most deserving among all those who are running for public office, and that we all have to support her. Mm-hmm. And up until today, it hasn't changed. Hindi pa rin nagbabago. Ganun pa rin ang ating paniniwala. And more nakikita ng ating mga kababayan ito dahil nga nitong nakaraang napakaraming taon, puro pagsisinungaling ang ibinato sa amin kay Vice President Lenny, lalo na walang nagawa, na puro batikos, etc., na mahina. And these are all lies because ang katotohanan nakikita sa track record niya na talagang lahat ng problema hindi niya inaatrasan. Lahat ng problema hinahanapan niya ng solusyon. And that's why we continue to fight this, what I call ang ating final epic battle of my generation to make things right. Kasi ako'y magsi-60 na in 2 years. Retirable na. Ibig sabihin, ang susunod na henerasyon na ang dapat mamunok matapos nito. Ipapasa na natin nila.
And Senator Kiko, this was also really partly of what you were thinking when you were gearing up for that Senate bid. How hard was it for you to switch gears, abandon that Senate bid, and join forces now with Vice President Lenny Robredo?
Siyempre, mahirap dahil ang biro ko nga, I did not know what hit me. A few days after that decision. Ako ba eh sinagasaan ng tren o ako ba eh sinagasaan ng 6x6 na 10-wheeler o 6x6 na truck? But in the end, sabi ko, dadating ang panahon, magkakaroon ako ng mga apo. At sa awa ng Diyos, tatanungin sa akin, during the worst economic crisis in Philippine history, during the worst health crisis, the worst economic crisis in 40 years, the worst health crisis in 100 years. Tatanungin sa akin, ikaw ba may ginawa ka, Lolo? Baka, hindi ko naman pwedeng sagutin na binigyan tayo ng pagkakataon na sumama at gumawa ng paraan para tumulong pero tinanggihan natin. So really this is about duty. Ito ay tungkol sa service at ito rin ay genuine service at ito rin ay tungkol sa kinabukasan ng ating mga mahal sa buhay, sa ating mga anak. Ipaglalaban natin ang gusto.
Senator Kiko, in the beginning, after you declared your intent to run, you would always say that the issue here is COVID. The latest surge is now teaching people how to live with it. Come election day, more people would have been vaccinated. The economy is expected to pick up. What happens to that issue now? Was it wise to make this a single issue campaign?
Well, I'm not exactly sure that things will get better. We don't know that. But things will definitely get better if we have a better approach to COVID. Nariyan pa rin ang gutom. Nariyan pa rin ang hirap. Nariyan pa rin yung kawalan ng bakuna. Kalahati pa lang ng ating populasyon ang nababakunahan. Tapos pinaguhuli. Tapos walang trabaho, walang hanap buhay, ginugutom. Mataas ang presyo ng bilihin. So, hindi ito biro. Unless we address COVID squarely, and this means maayos na response, and we do have that, about 500 billion will be ready to be realigned. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Hindi ito bagong utang.
Mamaya nga, pag-uusapan natin. Go ahead. Whenever you're ready.
Pinag-uusapan yung tulong sa small and medium enterprises.
Yeah.
So we're allocating 100 billion for that. Pagka upo ni Presidente, sorry, ni Vice President Lenny at siya'y manalo, 100 billion for assistance to micro-enterprises, yung maliliit nating mga namumuhunan. Ang binigay sa kanila this administration, wala pang 15 billion. So talagang kung kailangan ng matagdagan ng hanap buhay at trabaho, protektahan natin yung maliliit. 100 billion for the stimulus package. 216 billion directly assistance sa mga ilalagay sa lockdown. Another 50 plus billion para sa dagdag na bakuna. Until we manage this effectively, ang nakita natin dito sa kayo nga, kinakailangan nyo lumipat dahil nagkaroon ng COVID scare. So hindi pa to tapos. We are not yet out of the woods. And that's why kinakailangan natin ayusin. And Vice President Lenny has shown na kaya niyang harapin itong mga problema ng COVID at bigyan ng solusyon.
So what do you say then? What is your opinion of that Department of Labor advisory just urging employers to come up with an isolation and quarantine plan? Ang sabi po ni Kaelmer kanina, in a way, questioning why put the burden on the employers. It only, once again, I'm paraphrasing him now, just really underscores the lack of support that these employers are getting from government itself, Senator.
Tama yan. Plus sa DOH, ngayon lang nagbibigay ng COVID galinga kit 2 years into COVID, di ba? Doon mo makikita, ang unang gagawin natin talagang palitan itong mga namumuno dyan sa COVID, sa DOH at PhilHealth at iba pang mga ahensya ng pamahalaan na may direktang kinalaman dito sa COVID response. Kaya nga yung sinasabi dyan sa labor, 100 billion ang dapat ilaan. At hindi ito dagdag na utang. This is already in the budget. I-re-align lang for the next for the second semester of the year para mas sustentuhan at mas suportahan yung ating mga small and medium enterprises, yung mga mamumuhunan. The DTI has a very good track record in terms of rolling out itong assistance na ito. In fact, ang naging problema, hindi ni lipat sa kanila ng DBM. Siguro wala nang makuhang cash. Pero yung DTI mismo, a very professional agency, can implement this effectively, suportahan yung mga small and medium enterprises para manatili ang trabaho at mabigyan ng suporta ang mga naghihingalong kumpanya.
Senator, like many others, your path to where you are now was really ignited by the dark days of martial law. Did you ever think, Senator Kiko, that this day would come when the palace would once again be within striking distance of a Marcos, Senator Kiko?
Well, hindi, no? Sabi ko nga, kahit sa panaginip, di natin naisip ito. Pero nariyan na yan dahil na itong kasalukuyang administrasyon ay talagang binigyan ng suporta at inalaya, pinalibing pa sa libingan ng mga bayani ang isang hindi naman dapat ituring na bayani. So, andito na tayo. Ako'y naniniwala, basta malaman ng tao ang katotohanan, dahil masyadong nalinlang at masyadong nagkalat itong disinformation at fake news. So, yung pagsisinungaling. Pag nalaman ng tao yung totoo tungkol sa aming kandidato, kandidatura, hindi yung pinagkakalat na fake news, palagay ko magbabago pa ang isip ng mga botante. Tulad nung pagbabago, just like how they would change, they have changed their preferences for the president and vice president since 2004. Yung mga lumalamang nung una, hindi nanalo since 2004. So talagang, every vote will count. Every effort is precious that we bring the truth about our candidacies relative to the untruths of the other candidacies para ang pasya ng tao ay magiging base sa katotohanan.
Do you have enough time though, Senator Kiko? Ito well, po kasi kasinungalingan na sinasabi nyo kanina, matagal na paghandaan, according to a lot of experts. It was a well-thought-of, well-funded campaign to revise the truth.
Yes. Ako'y naniniwala, walang pwersang, kahit na ganung karami ang kanilang budget at ganung katindi ang pagkalat ng disinformation, walang pwersang masihigit pa sa taong bayan na tumataya at naninindigan. I believe in the end, when faced with the truth, and that's the challenge, ang ating mga kababayan ay pipili, hindi ng kasinungalingan, pipiliin nila yung katotohanan. So yun ang hamon sa atin. Paano natin sa loob ng 3.5 months malaman ng ating mga kababayan ang katotohanan? I believe we have to trust the people, but talagang puspusang ito, puspusang pakikibaka, paglalabas ng katotohanan, face to face dapat talagang puntahan natin ang bawat tahanan at ipaliwanag ang programa natin, ang track record natin, at hindi itong mga kasinungalingan na ipinagkakalat tungkol sa atin.
Sabi po na iba, Senator, that Marcos Jr. is being vilified. Is he being vilified?
I don't think so. Yan nga ang spin eh, no? Na masyadong anger, bitterness, kuno, di ba? Hindi naman ito tungkol sa anger at bitterness, tungkol ito sa hustisya, no? At katotohanan. So sana, sana maintindihan ng iba, hindi ito tungkol sa galit o puot, ito ay tungkol sa hustisya at katarungan. At yan ang ipaglalaban natin at katotohanan.
Is this just about his father's issues, his family's issues? What about his leadership? What has he proven that makes him deserving to be the next leader of the land, Senator?
I think sa huling banda, kinakailangan ang taong bayan ang magbusisi niyan. Ano? At tayo naniniwala na hanggang ngayon ay hindi pa rin nila tinatanggap at pilit na binabago yung kasaysayan at katotohanan. Hindi tama ito. At marami ng kaso sa Korte Suprema na nagsabi na nakaw na yaman, bilyong-bilyong nakaw na yaman ang nanggaling pondo ng gobyerno ay napunta sa kanilang mga account. So sana yung katotohanan ang maisiwalat natin at maipaabot natin sa ating mga kababayan. Unprecedented din, by the way, ang ating volunteers. I've never seen this since 1988 when I first ran as city councilor. Hindi ko nakita ang ganitong klaseng napaka-init na outpouring ng suporta ng ating mga kababayan. Ultimo barbero, nagbibigay ng libreng gupit hindi para makumbinse ang mga butante na bumoto para kay VP Lenny. Ultimo ang mga magtataho, dinodonate ang kanyang taho para sa mga volunteers. At ito, sabi ko nga, maaring nasa kanila ang pinakamabibigat na mga politiko, pero sa atin, nasa amin, ang pinakamabibigat na ordinaryong mamamayan na kumikilos. At yan ang magiging susi natin sa tagumpay, yung ordinaryong mamamayan na kakatok sa bahay ng kanyang kapwa, kapitbahay, kamag-anak, kaibigan, at kukumbinsihin ang sila na iboto tayo. Iboto si Lenny. That is where I think our strength will lie.
Senator Kiko, pag-usapan ho natin yung katunggali nyo mismo. At yan ay si Mayor Sara Duterte. She's been dominating surveys and preference for Vice President. But how would you explain your numbers where they are as we speak? Why are your numbers where they are as we speak, Senator?
Well, unang-una, hindi nga natin pinlano ito. So wala talaga tayong, in fact, for the last year and a half, I have been saying hindi ako tatakbo ng higher office. Sabi ko nga, hindi naman ako vice presidentiable. Ako ay vegetable farmer. Yun ang biro ko. So understandably so, hindi ito ang iniisip at hindi tayo top of mind. But we're now running third. Like I said kanina, yung mga nahuhuli nung nakaraang halalan, at yung mga nangunguna nung mga nakarang halalan, hindi natalo rin. No? So may oras pa tayong habulin itong mga numero na ito, at ako'y naniniwala paano ipaabot yung ating karanasan, yung ating track record. At sabi ko nga, expose or reveal the truth in the face of all the lies that have been spread sa atin since 2016, kami ni Vice President Lenny. Hindi tayo tinigilan nung paninira, yung fake news, yung disinformation. But again, in the end, the volunteers are with us. They will be our infantry, ika nga. They will be our fighters on the ground for the truth.
Pero Senator, hindi lang paninira at disinformation po ang kalaban ninyo. What do you say to some who are skeptical. What do you say to those people who fear that it's going to be the same people all over again if you win?
If we win, the same mm-hmm. people all over again? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure ganun ang sentimento ng publiko. Lalo na nung namatay si former President Pinoy, nakita nila yung katotohanan tungkol sa panunungkulan ni President Aquino, Noynoy Aquino. So, at maliwanag naman sa tao na marami ang nakakaalam na tayo ni Vice President Lenny hindi nabahira ng anumang anomalya sa aming panunungkulan. At nakikita rin unti-unti na talagang kami ay tumutok sa mga pangunahing problema ng mas nakakarami nating mga kababayan. I have been an advocate for farmers and fisher folk welfare and rights since 2010, o sumahigit 10 taon na. And VP Lenny, in all her years, whether in or out of government service, ay talagang ang mga nasa laylayan, yung pinakamahirap ang kanyang binibigyan ng oras at panahon. Yun, hindi matatawaran yun. At palagay ko, basta maipaliwanag lang natin ng maayos at mahinahon sa ating mga kababayan, makakakuha tayo ng dagdag na suporta in time for an upset victory, if you can call it that, a surprise victory. Hindi naman surprise, but a, di ba, uphill yet, you know, effective campaign by May 2022. Si Vice President Lenny, hindi siya bago sa sitwasyon na nasa huli, pero unti-unting umangat hanggang na ipanalo niya ang kanyang kandidatura. Kaya mahalaga dito, every vote will count. Vice President Lenny won by less than 1% of the vote. Vice President Binay won by about 2% of the vote. So talagang maliit ang magiging sabihin na natin lamang, pero every vote will matter in the end, and that's what we are working hard for.
Senator Francis, in one of our interviews before, you told me that the Liberal Party then was on a listening tour. This was, I think, several months after the defeat in 2016. What have the people been telling you in the listening tour, and how have you been responding to them?
Well, yes, we did that in 2017, 18, up to 2019 actually. Nag-knock on doors tayo, pinakinggan natin yung ating mga kababayan, at nakita natin talagang ang hinahanap nila, trabaho, hanap buhay, paano pagkakasihin ang maliit na sweldo, paano kikita ng dagdag para magastos ng maayos yung pangangailangan ng pamilya. Yan talaga ang pangunahing concerns ng ating mga kababayan. Hanap buhay, trabaho, gutom, no? And yan talaga ang nakita natin din sa dahilan kung bakit kami nagsanib puwersa ni Vice President Lenny. Dahil we both have been working on addressing these key issues and concerns ng ating mga kababayan.
Hanap at bakit buhay, po nila, I'm sorry to cut you there, Senator, bakit po sa pakikinig niyo po sa kanila, anong sinabi nila, why weren't they able to get this during the time when the Liberals were in power?
Well, kasama rin kasi yung paninira, fake news, no? Ang sinasabi kasi nila, ninakaw daw nung mga nasa Liberal Party, yung Yolanda funds, na hindi naman totoo. In fact, may natira pang bilyon na halaga. Pero yun talaga ang lumalabas sa ilang mga konsultasyon natin, no, na apektado talaga. Sinabing wala kaming nagawa, na hindi rin naman totoo. Dahil ang reforma na isinasagawa natin, totoo, kahit na sino pa ang tanungin mo, hindi agad na resolve lahat ng problema sa loob ng 6 na taon. Pero kahit na sino pa ang tanungin mo at magsabing dapat maging first world na tayo ng 6 na taon, eh huwag kayong maniniwala ron dahil sinungaling yun. It will take 2 or 3 presidencies to bring us to first world nation status, or about 15 years. And that's why kinakailangan talagang tuloy-tuloy at sustain itong ating mga patakaran at hindi pa bago-bago. So hopefully, we will be able to continue itong service na ito na walang bahid ng corruption at talagang matugunan yung hanap buhay, yung trabaho at ang gutom. Simple lang ang hinihiling ng ating mga kababayan. Halimbawa, alam nyo ba na mas mahal ng 3 beses ang 1 kilo ng baboy dito sa Pilipinas kumpara sa Thailand. Manok. At doble ang halaga ng baboy dito sa Pilipinas kumpara sa Thailand. Hmm. Ang bigas, 25 hanggang 30 pesos 1 kilo ng quality rice sa Vietnam at Thailand. Sa atin, 40, 45, halos doble. Gutom ang pinakamalaking problema ng bansa dahil mataas ang presyo ng bilihin, dahil napabayaan ang food security natin. Pag natugunan natin yan, talagang palagay ko malaki ang magiging resulta para tuloy-tuloy na ang progreso ng ating bansa.
At we're going to talk about food security in a moment, but first I want to talk about Kiko Pangilinan, the farmer. You know, there were doubts in the beginning that this was just all about changing your image. But the farmers actually found a friend in you. In fact, there was one farmer who even said na dati ang tingin ng mga magsasaka sa mga abogado ay kaaway. Pero ikaw po ay naging kaibigan daw po nila. How did this become your advocacy and how are you able to bridge that divide?
Ako, simple lang. Sino ba ang pinakamahirap natin mga kababayan? Ang mga magsasaka at mangingisda. Bago nun, abogado ako ng mga mahihirap. Meron nga ako isang kliyente ang binayad sa akin, isang bilao ng biko. No, dahil manggagawa siya sa UPPGH, tinanggal siya. Pero nung inaral ko ng husto, iisa lang yung bandy clock doon sa UPPGH. So ang haba ng pila. Pagdating niya doon sa time-in, late na siya. Hindi niya kasalanan yun. So naibalik natin ang kanyang illegal dismissal, na-resolve natin yun. At isang bilao ng biko ang bayad sa akin. So ever since, I've always had this bias for the poor, maybe because of my student leader and activist days ng UP. I worked with your father in the basic sectors ever since then. So talagang yun ang aking bias. So yung farmers and fisher folk who are the least of our brethren, they need our support. And sabi nga ni Frankie, when she was 9 years old, when I started my advocacy in 2010, na we should treat our farmers like our parents because they're the ones who feed us. And that has been my advocacy ever since. Hindi makatarungan na yung mga kababayan natin na siyang nagpapakain sa atin, hindi sila makakain ng maayos. Hindi ito tama. And ako siguro yung aking sense of fairness and sense of justice since my student leader days. So hindi ko matalikuran yun. At hanggang ngayon, ipinaglalaban pa rin natin. Nung food security secretary tayo, ganun din. Talagang nilaban natin yung kokulisa, pinaglaban natin yung mas murang bigas, yung corruption sa NFA, lahat yan, nasa on record yan. At tuloy-tuloy natin gagawin kung tayo ipalarin. At kung hindi naman, ganun din, i-champion pa rin natin yung ating mga kababayang nasa agriculture sector.
Oh, kanina po nabanggit ninyo yung food security. That's really one of the items that was really exposed by this pandemic as vulnerable. It's a vulnerable spot in the country's system. What do you think is a major stumbling block in achieving food security? And you were once special assistant for food security. What did you do to address this during your time as secretary?
Yes. In the end, naipasa natin yung batas na Sagipsaka, which is the Farmers Enterprise Development Program for the Department of Agriculture. Isang key feature dun is yung access sa merkado. Dapat bumili na ngayon ang ating mga NGAs, National Government Agencies, ng kanilang pangangailangan sa feeding program, supplemental feeding, nutrition programs, direkta sa mga magsasaka at mangingisda. And because of this law, noong 2020, about almost 3 billion pesos worth of agricultural products were purchased by LGUs, mga 400 plus direkta sa farmers at fisher folk. So nadagdagan ang kanilang kita, hindi na binabarat dahil gobyerno ang bumibili. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, we were the principal author ng Coconut Levy Trust Fund measure na ipasa na yan. Yung amendment sa Organic Act, Organic Agriculture Act, para mas mura na ang pagsisertify ng organic farming at mas mura na ang mga fees. Tayo rin ang principal author niyan. So, really in the end, you support your farmers, they will secure our food. If we want to secure our food, we should secure our farmers and our fisher folk. Yung isa na gusto natin mangyari sa buong Pilipinas, yung Camarines Sur Multipurpose Cooperative. Noong 2019, 7 million ang kanilang benta ng agrikulturang produkto. Noong 2020, dahil sa batas na sagipsaka, 62 million ang bumili sa kanila ng mga 13 LGU kasi pwede na, wala nang public bidding, negotiated na ang kontrata. Yung ginawa natin ng batas sa Camsur Multipurpose Cooperative na times 9 ang kinita, yun ang dapat gawin natin sa buong Pilipinas. At may budget na yan. May budget na ng NGA dyan at ang mga LGU.
Pero Senator, baliwala po lahat yung pinag-uusapan natin if you don't squarely address climate change as well. Ang laking epekto po niyan, yung adaptation and mitigation measures, ano po ang plano ng tropa hinggil dito?
Well, kasama dapat sa budget process yan. Dapat climate resilient. Yung calamity funds, kinakailangan mamobilize yan. Yung emergency work, pagka halimbawa tinamaan ng kalamidad, sino ba ang magre-rehab dyan? Dapat yung mga nahihirapan at mabibigyan ng panggastos. So really, we have to input climate resiliency programs, which include emergency work, food cash for work programs in the time of disaster and relief and rehab. And also, it has to be climate science, diba? Science-based. Increase yung ating crop insurance. In fact, that's why we want to double the agri budget. No, right now, the agri budget is around 116 billion. Your DOTR budget is about close to a trillion. Ganun din ng public works. Mahalaga naman ang infrastructure, pero di ba mahalaga din ang pagkain? So okay, we have towards increasing the budget of the Department of Agriculture so that we can secure our farmers with insurance, with calamity relief programs and interventions, and climate crisis programs para sila ay mas sabihin na natin, they will be able to stand up right away pag tinamaan itong mga disaster dahil nga sa climate crisis.
I want to talk about social media now. You just recently launched your YouTube channel. It has been verified as well. I get the campaign aspect of it. It is a necessary tool in the time of COVID. But social media, Mr. Senator, has become a vehicle for hate and pain to be brought upon your family in particular. How difficult was it, if at all, to trust the beast and not be part of the infodemic that's happening?
Well, there are certain lines you do not cross. Diba? Let's put it that way. You cannot become the beast you seek to slay. Hindi ka pwedeng maging dragon na gusto mong sugpuin. So we just have to stay, keep the moral high ground, never lose the moral high ground, and trust in the end that the people will believe and will be moved by the truth. Ako'y naniniwala na sa harap ng katotohanan, mabubura o maguguho ang kasinungalingan. Kaya dapat talagang at mananaig ang katotohanan sa huling banda. So yun ang dapat nating bibigyang diin, yung katotohanan.
Marami po kasing nagsasabi, Senator, or at least umaasa ng mga taga-suporta ninyo, that you also have to be as disruptive as the other side. Why can't they see that in your campaign?
I don't know for example, I sued Google because of fake news, and we are conducting hearings on disinformation, and we are urging, all stakeholders to be more proactive and more come up with more interventions so as we do not become enablers of disinformation. In the end, how can you fight fire with fire? Sabi ko nga, love conquers all. More hate will not make it right. You know, in fact, more hate will just make it more hateful. So talagang sa atin, we do not want to give in to this toxicity because it will benefit those who have been spreading toxicity and division. Sa atin, we should respond with discernment, with information, with dialogue and conversation. Kasi pag walang conversation at walang dialogue at walang pag-uusap na mahinahon, wala rin discernment. Kasi ang mangyayari dyan, mura, counter-mura, di ba? Insulto, counter-insulto, wala nang mag-iisip niyan. Puro galit ang mangigibabaw. And that will not work for our country.
Talking about conversations, dialogues, you're running as VP has also caused some division in your family. How is the family doing, Mr. Senator?
Well, it's not easy, syempre. Masakit, but sabi ko nga, lahat ng pamilya may dumadaan sa kanya-kanyang disagreements, conflict, family differences. No? And I'm hopeful that in the end, magkakaroon ng reconciliation and forgiveness for the hurt that may have been caused by the decision to run. But sabi nga, this is duty. This is about the future of our, di ba, of our country, and yun. Hindi kami exception sa rule na ang mga pamilya ay nagkakaroon din ng kanya-kanyang hidwaan, tampuhan at hindi pagkakasundo. But sana nga mauwi sa reconciliation and forgiveness for the hurt sa darating na mga panahon.
Senator, I'm talking to you now not only as a vice presidential candidate, but also as president of the Liberal Party. What do you say to those who are having a hard time trusting your leadership? To those who think, how can you lead the country when you can't or couldn't even keep the party together?
You know, the sad reality is we really have to strengthen our party system. Kasi lahat naman ng partidong ng administrasyon matapos ng nagkakahiwa-hiwalay, 'di ba? Dati KBL, nung wala na ang KBL naging LDP, nung nawala na yung LDP naging Lakas, nung nawala yung Lakas naging LAMP, 'di ba? So it's really a challenge for all that we do political party reforms. Napakahalaga niyan. And to begin with, syempre yung anti-dynasty measure. Number two, dapat din yung anti-third cotism. Hindi naman bawal na lumipat ng partido, pero wag naman parang kasindali ng pagpapapalit ng damit. Dapat merong mga criteria, di ba? At dapat naaaprubahan, halimbawa, ng Commission on Elections. So that it's, part of that siguro is, halimbawa, you have to have a valid reason for transferring parties, etc. Ginastusan ang iyong ng partido at ng ang iyong kandidatura nung nanalo ka, eh dapat siguro hindi naman basta-basta pwedeng magpalit agad-agad, no? Or ganun kasimple. So political party reforms is critical, and hopefully under a Robredo leadership, you know, hindi alam ng marami, ha, na sa Naga City since 1998 until today, yung ticket ng Robredo ticket sa Naga City, isang beses lang, isang kandidato lang ang natalo mula 1998 hanggang sa ngayon. In other words, strong parties is possible, but you need strong leadership to be able to do that. And we hope a vice president with President Lenny at the helm, with the support of the people, we will also be able to put in place political party reforms.
I want to talk now about the pandemic. Let's get into that for very quickly. You were criticized for voting against Bayanihan 2 for these reasons. I don't know if we have that exact tweet that you sent out, wherein you said, we vote no to Bayanihan 2 because we refuse to tolerate mediocrity, incompetence, and corruption. We're on year two, season two of this pandemic, since you sent out that tweet. How would you describe the pandemic response now, Mr. Senator?
Well, you know, formally sums it up. di ba? Na sa halip na sumpuin ng COVID, pinagkakitaan ng COVID.
At, so hindi pwedeng sabihin, Senator, na everyone, every nation is having a hard time. Kasi wala naman formally sa lahat ng mga bansang ito. At walang issue ng corruption habang nasa gitna ng pandemya, Senator Pangilinan.
Well, kung paniniwalaan natin, lahat ng mga, sabihin na natin, napakaraming mga analysts ang sinasabi, kulelat ang Pilipinas sa COVID response. Kulelat din ang Pilipinas pagdating sa panumbalik ng sigla ng ekonomiya dahil nga sa naging response ng gobyerno. Hanggang ngayon, yung testing hindi pa libre at hindi pa na-aprobahan itong mga antigen test. Diba? Nakakalungkot naman. And we voted no dahil ito nga, fake news na naman. Kaya daw tayo bumoto no kasi ayaw natin ng ayuda. Pero ang totoo niyan, yung committee report ng Senado ay 200, tinapyasan ng 76 billion ng Department of Finance at ng NEDA. Sinabi hindi pwedeng mataas ang bayanihan to. Binawasan ng 76 billion. Pinirmahan ko yung committee report. At yung committee report ay mas malaki ng 73 billion ang ayuda kumpara doon sa gusto ng Department of Finance. So, we voted against because binawasan nila yung ayuda. Tinapyasan nila. So, baliktad. Okay. Baliktad. No?
May isa pang binabato sa inyo, Senator, and that's the juvenile law. Here's a comment from a user, a Facebook user. Ang sabi po niya, juvenile act mo, maraming nakinabang sa masama nga lang. Quick reaction to that.
Well, hindi rin tama. No, dahil marami ring peke na ikinakalat at kasinungalingan. Sabi, wala daw parusa sa juvenile justice law. Hindi ho totoo yun. In fact, kung ikaw may serious offense, involuntary confinement is mandatory. Minimum 1 year. So mga nagsasabing kailangan palayain yung mga nagkasala, mali. You know? And this also has been vilified with fake news. At doon naman sa mga biktima ng itong mga kabataan na nagpariwara, mandato ng batas na kailangan bigyan ng support at alalay ng DSWD ang mga ito. Dagdag pa dyan, hindi lang ito sinisiwalat dahil bawal sa batas na isabi yung mga storya ng mga nakinabang dito dahil mga minors. Uh-huh. Pero may mga kwento, for example, yung isa, attempted rape ang kaso sa kanya. Pero ang totoo, nagmamahalan sila, magnobya sila. Yun nga lang, 15, 16. So nagalit yung tatay ng babae, ng anak na babae, at sinampahan ng kasong attempted rape yung lalaki. But that was not the truth in terms of yung lumabas sa salaysay. Binigyan siya ng pangalawang pagkakataon. Siya ay dinala sa isang sa DSWD rehabilitation program. At natapos siya ron. No? Hindi siya kinulong. Kasi kung wala pang batas nito, dapat kinulong na sa bilibid yun. At siguro, na-rape na rin yun at naging hardened criminal. Today, ano siya? Seaman. At nagpapadala ng kumikita at nagpapadala ng kanyang sweldo sa kanyang mga magulang. Maraming ganyan. Yung isa naman, drugs.
Okay. Sorry, Senator. I have to cut you there. I know there are a lot of stories that you want to tell us.
Isa na lang, yung drugs at gang, siya ay na-divert, nagkaroon ng training sa DESTESDA, at ngayon, supervisor na sa isang convenience store. Kung wala itong batas na ito, nabulok na yon sa New Bilibid Prison. So mayroong mga nakikinabang. Sana maintindihan ng ating mga kababayan ito.
Okay, we're gonna go into a rapid fire now, Mr. Senator. Medyo marami itong mga tanong. Very quick answers lang po. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. Last book you read?
The Hype Machine and 21... It's right here. 21 Lessons for the 21st Century.
Okay. Last message or text message you sent or phone call you made? Kung alin ang...
Text message? Humihingi ako ng datos para sa interview na to. sa staff ko.
What's your playlist like? May panahon pa ba kayong makinig ng music?
My playlist is usually anyan, soundtracks. I love soundtracks. It's you know, you should listen to theme song from the movie Rudy, for example.
Nice.
Or
all
theme
right.
Song from Untouchables. Yeah.
Okay. Dad more... jokes. Dad jokes or dad advice. Dad advice. Dad advisor or dad jokester.
Dad jokester, more open than that.
Personal hero. Who is it?
Locally.
Kenny.
Okay. Nelson Mandela.
Last show you streamed or binge-watched?
Last show that I binge-watched? Ah, yung ano, Squid Games. Kami ni Sharon.
Oh. Okay. The boat is sinking. You only need to save one person, Mr. Senator. Who will it be? President Duterte or Secretary Duque?
Malakas pa naman ako, so kaya kong salbahin pareho. Every life is precious.
Describe your candidacy in one word.
Mission impossible. Two words pala yun, ano? Surprise, unthinkable, I don't know. Volunteer-driven. Yeah, volunteer-driven.
Dear Heart or Ang Probinsyano?
Ang Probinsyano, kasi present yun.
All right. Theoretical, final question. Mr. Senator, you find out you just won the elections. What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Siyempre, magpapasalamat dahil naniniwala ako sa milagro. So, milagro yun kaya mag-ano. But I believe in miracles and it'll happen and I will be thankful. Yun ang una kong isipin, magpapasalamat.
Senator sa Francis.
At sa taong bayan.
Senator Francis Kiko Pangilinan, Vice Presidential Bet of the Liberal Party. Thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us today. You take care and you keep safe.
Thank you. At ang huling ano ko siguro, sabi nga nila, pag ang taong bayan ang tumataya, ang imposible nagiging posible. Maraming salamat. Magandang
thank
araw.
Thank you. Senator Francis Pangilinan there joining us today on Dateline Philippines. And that'll do it for the show. Thanks for joining us. If you want to revisit this episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, you guys. I'm Carmina Constantino. See you again tomorrow here on Dateline Philippines. Take care.